Hola, Jed. En honor a mi viaje por México, voy a hacer este episodio en español.
Sí.
I am not going to attempt, in honor of my journey through Mexico, I am not going to attempt to do this episode in Spanish.
Sí.
So it's been a couple weeks. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, John. It's been a long time, Jack. Welcome back. Hey, so are you still down in Mexico because we're building a wall to keep you out?
I am here. I think I have a pretty good chance of scaling the metal fence, though.
Well, I heard you can actually just cut right through it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Or just take a plane.
Well, John, not all people seeking refugee status can just fly in.
Right. I'm one of the lucky ones.
One does not simply walk into Mordor, or whatever that line is from Lord of the Rings.
And the chances are probably good you watch Lord of the Rings over the holidays, right?
You know what? Actually, I did not watch it over the holidays, but I did watch it a couple months ago.
All three?
No, just we actually only got through half of the second one. Uh-huh. I think when all the battle stuff starts, it gets a little like, I don't know, kind of mundane, like the 20 or 30th time mm-hmm. that you've seen it.
Right.
It's really about the friendships they make along the way. That's really why I like to watch it.
So anyway, this is episode 90 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Alan Simber episode. The only player to wear number 90. Horrible statistics with the Padres and Indians last year, but he's the only player, so this one's in honor of him.
Whose nickname is Cimbarelli, Cimbarelli.
Is it?
No. No, I don't know.
It is now.
Okay.
That'll be his claim to fame.
Wait, is he Simber the Lion King?
It could be, Simber. It's a new movie coming out about him, Jon Favreau.
That's right.
So we've got a ton of catching up. I think one of the good things about taking a couple weeks off, one, because of the holidays, two, because I was sick last week.
Three, because we just can't stand to talk to each other.
It was the third time I've been sick since August, which is not a good track record for the health statistics.
Right. Well, you have been in Mexico, dude. I mean,
plus a Monta. Wouldn't say I had Montezuma's revenge. I think I had Montezuma's taunting.
Okay. Montezuma's sternly worded letter.
Right. So Montezuma had a little bit of interference a week or two.
I see. A week or two? And you don't consider that to be revenge?
No, because it wasn't like I wasn't doubled over in pain. I wasn't running to the bathroom. It just was, you know.
Your insides stayed inside.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It was.
All right. Yeah.
So that's enough about that.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit of baseball because there's a ton of baseball to talk about. That's for sure. We've got the first thing is that, you know, you would have thought maybe in 2 weeks we would have heard some movement on the top three biggest headlines in the offseason, which is Machado, Harper, and JT Realmuto.
Yeah, and they're all
still waiting
where they were when we left off.
Yeah. So
this is sort of a Montezuma's revenge of it's like Montezuma's constipation of free agent signing.
Right. So the rumors, there's still rumors flying. So it looks like probable landing spots for Machado, Yankees, Phillies, or White Sox.
Yeah.
And for Harper, strongly looking like it's either going to be the Phillies, Dodgers, or White Sox.
Or Nationals.
So those seem to be but coming back home. I still think he's going to go back there. I think the learners are going to open up the checkbook, and he's going to be happy to stay where he was. I don't think it's the wisest move for them, given what they have already. They could save that money and apply it to, because they're spending boatloads on other people, and pay these guys, these young guys, when they mature and give them long-term contracts, or attempt to sign them now to long-term contracts.
I feel like, though, John, I feel like if they sign Harper, then that means they can't re-sign Rendon. Like, that's to me, like,
right
when you're looking down the line, like Rendon, Anthony Rendon.
Mm-hmm. Anthony.
I'm a little rusty over here, okay? Anthony Rendon, you know, he's a free agent at their end of next season, and so they don't have like a bunch of third basemen in their system like they do with the outfielders to replace mm-hmm. Harper. So it really just becomes a question of like, if you're thinking this year, sure, it could work, but then what about next year? What about the year after? It starts to get all mucked up too, because then you got Scherzer, Strasburg, Harper, and Rendon all making, like, to use the NBA term, max contracts. Mm-hmm. I don't know that that works.
I mean, I would think they would want to move on simply because Rendon, like you said, third base is a key spot.
Yeah.
Sign him to a long-term contract. Your outfield is set for the next 5 years until those guys leave. Wouldn't make a lot of sense other than he's marketable and probably a fan favorite for Nats fans. That would be, you know, the biggest part of it.
Yeah. But
for long-term prospects, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for them.
I still feel like the Dodgers just make the most sense for him at this point.
But as a fan of the game, I'd love to see both Machado and Harper sign with the Sox, White Sox. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I feel like the Phillies wind up with Machado, and the Dodgers wind up with Harper.
So the Yankees apparently haven't even budged on their $200 million not offer made to Machado, but number that has been thrown around, and they haven't even made a formal offer to him.
Yeah,
and
I just feel like they're just like
number one
they're
target
just in it to make sure that whoever signs him for more money. I don't think they're actually interested. It just doesn't make sense. They signed Tulowitzki recently. Like, then now it double doesn't make sense. And I know Tulowitzki isn't like, wow, what a great deal. I mean, he is a great, it's a great bargain.
Right. $550,000.
Yeah. So, but he's a terrible player. He's been a terrible player, but maybe he's okay. And he's probably good enough to get them to
serviceable until Gregorius comes back, maybe.
So I don't know. I don't.
That's really all. That's their only need at this point.
And it's a weird thing. Like, do they then jettison Miguel Andujar? They trade him off, and they probably get something back. Mm-hmm. But like, you're trading a $30 million player for a $500,000 player. That seems a little weird. For a couple wins.
Mm-hmm.
The defense is better for
it's,
sure.
It's gonna. I think you know we're a month out from spring training, so I think a lot's gonna happen. Not to say that a lot hasn't happened since we last spoke, because there's quite a bit on the list here.
Yeah, and first of all, apologies for any audio quality issues that we're having. I just blame the NSA.
Yeah, darn NSA! They're listening in again.
Yeah.
We're troublemakers.
Yeah.
You know, because we talk so much about politics. That
we actually do mention politics enough, I think, for the NSA to be interested.
Right. So let's take a look at... we didn't talk about Realmuto. Realmuto, still a lot of rumors. Back to the Braves again, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense, given that they signed... what's his name? Catcher McCann.
Yeah.
Since they signed McCann, which is not a solution by any means, but
they still have what's his name there, right? The other
Flowers.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. I mean, here's the thing about the Realmuto thing that is so funny to me. Like, you hear about like some of the offers that they're demanding for 2 years of this guy, as if he's like Barry Bonds he's a very good catcher, and he's probably the best catcher in the league right now. But like, you can just sign, I mean, you can't sign Grandal now, but like if you cared that much about a catcher, you just go sign Grandal for free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you don't have to give up any prospects. Mm-hmm. Or you go get Wilson Ramos. I know those guys are gone now, blah, 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 blah. So basically you're down to like one or two teams that maybe want a catcher, maybe the Dodgers. And it's like, it reminds me so much of that sketch from Saturday Night Live where, I don't know if you ever saw this one, Roy Scheider has 50-yard line Super Bowl tickets.
Right.
And he's insisting on selling them for $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the best offer he gets is $2 million for Super Bowl tickets. And then he refuses to sell. And then winds up leaving the game with the tickets unsold and going home with his principal.
Right.
It's a great sketch. It's a well-conceived sketch and well-acted and whatever. But I look at Realmuto like, the Marlins need to trade him for a good prospect.
Mm-hmm.
If they think they're going to, look around the league, read the room. No one's going to give you everything for this guy.
Not for 2 years. Last year, they probably would have had a better chance.
Yeah.
But he was coming off an injury, and some people probably are a little bit hesitant. So,
but also, like, look at this guy. It's not like he's a star. You know what I mean? He's a very good player. He's the best catcher in baseball. But he's not a star. Like, part of the reason why you get, like, Goldschmidt, you know, trade. And remember, that is a full year of Goldschmidt. And they gave up, like, nothing for him. Not nothing, but it's like, you didn't have to do like a Chris Sale trade. And I think that's what the Marlins want is like, well, whatever the Red Sox gave up for Chris Sale, that's what we want.
Right. Back up the truck.
Yeah. Back up the truck. Give us your two of your three best prospects and then a third wild card. And look at the, you know, it's like Jose Quintana. With the Cubs gave up for him, Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease, like that's the number three prospect in baseball and like arguably the number 40 to 50 with Dylan Cease. And they got, and Quintana fell apart. So no team like that. I think those days are over. I think much like, you know, like the big spending, the crazy big spending on mediocre players. I think you're seeing less and less of that. And I think Real Muto is, if the Marlins aren't going to, they're just going to use him and be like, well, we're not trading him for anything less than $5 million. Like, okay, Roy Scheider, go on home to your family.
Right. Yeah. If they don't
rest
move
in peace,
him now,
Roy Scheider, by the way.
Right. Fosse.
Right.
The best scenario for them, if they don't move, they should have moved him last year. They would have gotten more value is that, somebody is in a desperate need come the All-Star break.
This is the problem with catchers, John. I hate to interrupt you, even though I do it all the time, and I actually
you do it all the time, yeah.
But the thing about catchers is like, it's not like just getting a new first baseman. Like catchers have to learn like all the pitching stuff for all the pitchers on your team. So getting them mid-season is actually a bit of a chore.
Mm-hmm.
So teams are less inclined to do that, barring an emergency.
So in the best case scenario for the Marlins is that JT Realmuto, if he isn't traded, he has an amazing first half of the season,
right,
and some other competitive team has a deficiency in their catching area and is willing to do the deal.
Right.
But it's like still a year and a half. Yeah. Someone would do that.
Yeah.
But you know, if I'm the Marlins, Realmuto didn't want to be there last year. Obviously, doesn't want to be there this year.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
So we've talked way too much about JT Realmuto.
Well, you just cut that whole segment.
We'll keep it in there. So one of the big news signings just within the last 24 hours for us was the signing of Grandal by the Brewers to a one-year deal and not the four-year deal that had been offered to him with the Mets.
Yeah, so he took 1 year, $18 million with the Brewers instead of 4 years, $60 million. With the Mets. Talk about an agent reading the teams wrong. Jeez.
Right. So I guess the thinking there too, and you know, with catchers, because it's such a fragile position and, you know, at any point their career could be in jeopardy, to say that I'm going to, you know, I'll take the big money this year and then I'll go for a 3-year deal next year. That's a little bit risky.
Yeah.
Could work out in his favor, but you know, the long-term deal could work out in his favor. You know, the numbers could be to his benefit next year. But he's got to play the whole year in order to get there.
I will say his fantasy value just went up because he's primarily a lefty hitter. He's a switch hitter, but he's primarily a lefty hitter. And
in that ballpark. Huh?
Yeah, so Grandal is primarily a lefty hitter. Like, he can hit right-handed, but he's primarily lefty. And lefties, as you know from Christian Yelich, kill in Milwaukee. So his value, I think, just went up at least a round of draft value, approximately $2-3 in an auction draft.
Good insight for folks drafting in the next few months.
Yes.
So we have a whole bunch, a long list that we need to kind of run
through. Let's just bang them out.
Yeah, sure. So the Mariners got a little bit of a coup, although this is not a huge surprise.
Wait, did they get a Kikuchi?
That was it, but it was a very interesting deal. The structure of the deal. Not only was it a couple of different opt-outs in there, but also they're going to build his schedule around having kind of a bullpen session so that he gets that kind of equivalent of the six starter rotation that they had in Japan, so he doesn't get injured. A very clever way to approach it. Because no one else offered that, apparently.
Okay, yeah, and the Marlins are essentially rebuilding, so they can offer stuff like that, you know, at least for the first year.
The Mariners?
Who?
The Mariners, you mean? The Mariners?
Yes, the Mariners. Sorry about
those
that.
Those two teams, freaking teams.
Now they're both terrible, so who cares?
Well, DePoto probably would argue with you that, you know, they're not terrible. They're a year or two away.
I like the Mariners' future more than the Marlins' future.
Yes, I would agree with that.
There's a certain symbology I see of, like, a Mariner killing a Marlin.
Oh.
Of course, whenever I think of the actual Marlin now, I think about the new logo where it has the F that's the having sex the with the... the M that's the Marlins having right. sex with the M there.
I actually like I'm actually digging the new colors. So yeah.
No, the colors are great. It's the symbology ones. Of the Marlin actually right. having sex with the M that right. I think is odd.
So Kikuchi, Mariners now have he's not even a frontline starter. He's maybe a strong two. Maybe a strong three with a leaning to a two, but we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, it's a transition year for him. Which is okay. David Robertson signed with the Phillies, and Zach Britton signed with the Yankees, which was kind of expected.
Yeah. The Yankees have that money to spend, and they do believe in that sort of let's have a monster bullpen. That's sort of their operating basis right now, which is hard to disagree with.
Yeah, it's kind of like a theme in baseball. These days, but the whole idea of having two closers, closer mentality people,
yeah.
Actually three last year at the end of the season.
Right.
But Robertson is now the de facto closer for the Phillies, I would assume.
I think him and Sir Anthony Dominguez are going to mix it up. And then I thought they were going to go get Kimbrel, you know, what with them talking about wanting to spend stupid money and all.
Right.
But yeah, they went a little cheaper and got David Robertson. I think David Robertson, they could take turns, like depending on, you know, what Kapler thinks. You know, Kapler's big into the numbers and matchups and stuff. So he'll right. probably be like, well, no, this, you know, Robertson's going to be better against this three batter. So he'll go in the eighth. And then.
How does that signing impact the Kimbrel market?
Well, I mean, it takes away yet another team. I mean, I wonder if the Red Sox sign him to a 1-year deal. It's hard to imagine, but you know, this is the thing where, you know, there's all these whispers of like a player strike coming up with the new CBA negotiations. Mm-hmm. And really they just need like to make sure they negotiate well, because they've sort of negotiated themselves out of being like the best union in sport. They've given away a lot of things, but like they need to take care of the minor leaguers better. The owners need to, I think they should just mutually agree. That shouldn't be a negotiating point, because this is the Major League Baseball Players Association. So they don't really care too much about minor league, but they should, mm-hmm. and owners should, mm-hmm. because this is, you know, guys shouldn't be making $1,500 a month playing baseball right. full time, even if it's low A and whatever. Like, figure it out. There's billions of dollars being thrown around here. Let's make it work. But there's talk of like, well, why didn't Grandal get a 4-year deal? And it's like, well, there's so the CBA needs to be adjusted to reflect this thing now where not all teams are going to be spending all their money. And mm-hmm. owners of teams have every right to not spend all their money, but they also don't have the right to just hoard all the profits, especially with right. revenue sharing and all this stuff going on.
Right. TV deals.
Deals going up and up, and the players deserve a bigger piece of that. So I hope that the players don't do something stupid like a strike, but I think that both sides are making so much money that there won't be an actual stoppage. But these are the sort of things you're looking at. We're like, how come Grandal only got a 1-year deal? He's a 3-win player. He should get a 4-year deal. And yes, he was offered a 4-year deal allegedly from the Mets. But then, like, how come there weren't multiple 3 or 4 year offers right. for him?
Right. Well, Dombrowski has said too that the Red Sox are not going to They have not put aside a ton of money for the closer role.
Right. Well, I mean, this is a team that, this of all the teams that is, are allowed to not spend money, the team that spent $240 million last year, I'm going to give them a pass.
Right.
But it's the other teams, like, you know, like normally you'd see the Royals, even though they're rebuilding, they'd go out and get like a couple of $8 to $12 million players to field a good team. But now the GMs, but forget the owners, the GMs don't want to do that. They think that's a waste of resources. Oh, we signed Grandal, we lose this compensation pick. Right. Well, I want that pick instead. That's what I want. I want to go get that young guy that we're looking at that's, you know, throwing 94 right now in high school. We can get him up to 98 with some da-da-da-da-da. Like, that's the way GMs
are. And after he has his Tommy John, we'll be all set.
Exactly. And that's how they're trying to think that sort of longer-term view. And also, like, if you look at how GMs are looked at, like, who's the guy with the Red Sox? I know we're kind of off topic here a little bit, but Ben Charrington, right?
Charrington.
Right? Mm-hmm. He signed those two contracts. What's his name?
Yeah, the first baseman and the outfielder.
Right? Yeah, I don't remember where they were. Anyway, but then, like, then he got fired, and then the next year the team won the World Series.
Right.
But so it was basically out. All his players.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was, what, 2013, right? So he got fired.
Seems like it was just yesterday, yeah.
But it's because GMs are now getting fired for signing the big contracts. Like, those are the things that stick out. That's what the media writes about. They write about, oh, that terrible Carl Crawford contract. Oh, the worst contract ever. Mm-hmm. Adrian Gonzalez. Oh,
yeah.
What a albatross that is. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, they don't say, like, wow, look, this is Ben Charrington, the guy that signed Mookie Betts. You know?
Mm-hmm.
They look at these big contracts, and that's what these GMs get albatrossed with. They get, like, look, this is his cross to bear now. And I think if you get GMs, so then GMs have the penalty of, you know, what happens if I sign Bryce Harper and he goes belly up? So maybe I'll just stay away from all that. And so you've seen the Dodgers, they haven't even bothered with big name free agents. Harper is the first time that they've come up with a big name free agent since Andrew Friedman took over.
Mm-hmm.
The penalty is just too severe for messing up on one of those.
Yeah, so that's got to be resolved. Hopefully that will be something that doesn't push to the 11th hour because baseball doesn't need that black eye again.
Yeah, it's just stupid too. We'll see. Everyone's making so much money. You know, is it my problem is I think Tony Clark has negotiated poorly on behalf of the Players Association. That's all. Mm-hmm. So negotiate better. Mm-hmm. Get some other people in the room. Which I believe they are, by the way. They're hiring lawyers, labor negotiation lawyers, like up the wazoo, which they should. Go get your money, guys. It's your money. Yeah. Are you man enough to take it? Right? Well, Glengarry, Glenn Ross. Coffee is for closers, Tony Clark. Hit the bricks, pal.
So a couple other people making some money. Shelby Miller signed with the Rangers. Brian Dozier allegedly has the deal done with the Nats.
Okay.
And Nelson Cruz, one-year deal with the Twins. And Cruz is still performing. You know, no one thought at 38, 39 years old he'd still be delivering, and he is. So of those three, I think, you know, Cruz is, I don't want to say a sure thing, but he's the safest bet.
Right.
Shelby Miller is a total, you know, wild card. Who knows what you're going to get with that.
Especially with the Rangers, that's a hitter's park, man. Like, almost as much as Coors Field. So, yeesh.
And the Rangers have a bunch of reclamation projects that if they all pitch well, they'll have a good staff. They had one of the worst pitching staff rotations in baseball last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, if all of these reclamation projects deliver, you know, they could be, I don't want to say formidable. That would be way too much. They might finish 500. Who knows?
Is that Dozier deal? Is that a one-year deal?
Let's see.
I mean, that's a nice little pillow contract for both of them because Brian Dozier needs to rebuild his value.
And then 1 year, $9 million.
Perfect. Perfect for both because the Nationals have a couple of middle infielders coming through their farm system. Luis Garcia and who's the other guy? Carter Kieboom?
Kieboom?
Yeah. So you got some nice middle infield guys coming, and then, you know, Dozier kind of, you know, what's the word? You know, passes the baton or fills the gap. That's probably the better way to. And, you know, Dozier could be, you know, a 3-win player for $9 million. That's great. There's a lot of second basemen out there, though. That's part of the reason why Dozier had to sign for $9 million. There's a lot of second basemen out there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So Andrew Miller signs with the Cardinals.
Very nice signing for the Cardinals.
Yeah, so all of a sudden the National League Central is super competitive.
Yeah.
You know, not that it was last year. The Cardinals seemed to be, I wasn't quite in on the Cardinals yet, even though they had made some key moves in the beginning of the season. But now they look formidable.
Yes. Well, they got, as soon as they got Coach rid of Matheny, Schmidt. They became one of the, had the best record in baseball. Right. Or one of the best records. Right. You know, that's a huge move for them. And they're going to have next year, they're also going to not have Mike Matheny. So that's going to be a nice plus.
Right. So that's great. They unsigned him to an exclusive open-ended contract.
It's an infinity contract to not manage the team.
Right. I think it's safe to say the Cardinals are Matheny-less for the long term.
Yeah.
So we had a trade.
A couple of juicy trades.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting trade. It was a good trade for Santana since he was living in purgatory with the Brewers. Going to the Mariners for, the heck is his first name? Gamble's first name.
Is it Matt or is it Ben Gamble?
Ben Gamble. Who showed signs, you know, he was used more of as a utility player. But when he was in for longer stints, he did okay. But when he was used infrequently, he was up and down. So that, you know, we'll see what role he plays with
good fourth outfielder, though, for the
definitely
for the Brewers. Definitely. It's so funny. These two trades, they traded Broxton to the Mets and they traded Santana to the Mariners. I thought they were going to do these trades last offseason after they got Kane and who's Yelich, right? So then, like, they just but they just kept these two around anyway. And yeah, very strange a year late, but why not?
And we got to give Van Wagenen and some credit because he's been doing some pretty interesting transactions that are actually making the Mets a better team.
Yeah.
So he's kind of holding to his word that they were going to be competitive in 2019.
Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic about them. They have a good rotation. If everyone stays healthy, they got some nice prospects. Pete Alonso should be the starting first baseman, if not like mid-April, if they're trying to game the you know, player arbitration stuff. It should be a solid right-handed bat, which the lineup definitely needs. But then you got Cano and Conforto and Nimmo.
It's a meat
basically,
net
if your last name ends with O, you're on the Mets.
You're in.
You got a spot in the roster. They were like, Jay Bruce. If your name was Jay Brusso, we'd keep you, but we got to send you out of here.
Speaking of spots on the roster, David Wright officially removed himself from the 40-man roster and took on a special assistant role. But that, he didn't retire. So right. What does that mean? There was no formal retirement.
So he gets to keep his money, because if you retire, you can't keep your money. And the team will just continue to file for the insurance claim.
Okay.
So everyone
until
wins.
Until his contract's up. Yeah.
I think he's got one other
so
year.
So there's no chance of him pulling an Ichiro and coming back and playing at some point in his career.
There is still
I guess
a possibility.
Because that's open.
Still a possibility. Yeah. If the Mets go to Japan and try to open up in Japan, and everyone in Japan loves David Wright.
Right. He's huge there.
He's not as big as David Wong, but.
Right.
everyone there loves David Wright.
So I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on the big Dodgers trade to the Reds.
Well, I hate losing Puig. I hate that they gave up Puig. But if you're looking at money and assets and all that stuff, they didn't need Alex Wood and they didn't need Kemp. And the way that all the money works out, they got Homer Bailey back, but apparently they just cut him. I don't know. I haven't seen the official word on that. But it's better money contractually to have Homer Bailey's terrible contract than to have Kemp's terrible contract. And Puig, I mean, if you're saying they traded Puig and got Jeter Downs for Puig, that's a win for whoever gets Jeter Downs. So, I mean, who knows if someone like Jeter Downs even makes it into the Dodgers – starting lineup. You know, this is a player that's not a huge upside player, so I see it more as like a future asset for trading, you know, a little bit like Gavin Lux. The Dodgers have him down there, but like, is he really good enough to be a Dodgers starting player? You know, like, not to say the Dodgers are so much better, but you know, like the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers have a higher standard for who they'll bring up.
Right.
You know, they don't want to bring up a guy who's going to be replacement level.
The Dodgers have people in their bullpen that would be would be playing in most other teams' lineups.
Like, yeah.
So I guess the thing with the Kemp Puig Wood trade is that the three of them will have each other in Cincinnati.
Yes.
Because, I mean, Puig's got to be like, really? I thought I was going to the Mets. I thought I was going to, you know, one of the big cities, and I'm going to Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's, I don't know that Cincinnati is where I see Yasiel Puig flourishing.
No, thriving. No.
Yeah.
No. Hopefully he likes Skyline Chili.
Yes.
Well, it'll be an interesting thing to follow.
Yeah.
I mean, because the team is completely different, you know, now with those, you know, three, I would say two big names. Not that Kemp's is good, but he's still a big name. Puig is a big name. Wood is a mediocre to above average name, but much better than anybody they had. So, you know, not necessarily means that Cincinnati's a much, much better team, but they've got a lot of young pieces that are developing, so it'll be interesting to watch them. They still don't have pitching. And Wood is, I guess, basically a replacement for the Dark Knight, which is not a huge replacement.
That's an improvement, though. Wood has much more upside than, you know, as long as he stays healthy. If you can get that fastball back up another mile an hour where it was 2 years ago, I mean, that's a, you know, again, that's a three-win pitcher for $9 million. So that's a smart move. Yeah, the thing I don't really understand at all is Kemp. Like, what's the plan with Kemp? Has he just become like a DH, like, or a, you know, in interleague games, and he's like a pinch hitter? Because you got Puig and you've got Jesse Winker, and that's left and right field. And then they got rid of Hamilton. So what, you got like Schebler in center? You can't put Kemp in center. You can't put Puig in center. You can't put Winker in center. Those are not center fielders. So I'm not really sure 100% what the Reds are doing there. But especially in the fact that they gave up, you know, like a talented prospect. And they basically, to get a year of Kemp, a year of Puig, and a year of Wood, I don't know. It feels weird. Weird trade. Mm-hmm.
So in non-transaction headlines.
Yeah, let's get into some news.
Some news that's going on. CC Sabathia had a heart procedure to add a stent, but will be fine enough to play come spring training.
Yes, he's all good, and I can make the jokes now. So he was working out and found that he was sweating, overly sweating, and I just, there's so many jokes about eating jokes that come to mind. Talking about meat sweats, talking about a racing heart, you know, he's at the buffet table. Anyway, the procedure all went well, and it's all got everything under control. But he jumped on it right away, which is what you should do, by the way. You know, get weird
and
stuff.
And when he
going
jumped
on
it, he started sweating, right?
Yes, certainly did not slow down the sweating. but anyway, good news, great guy. You know, Yankees suck, blah blah blah, but good for him. He's a good guy. So.
Yeah, was it MLB trade rumors that somebody did a poll recently about teams that I take that back. There was a poll was one, and then there was also a baseball memes did a thing about which team would be dethroned from their perch atop their specific division. And one of the, I don't remember where I read this, but most people were saying that the Red Sox are the most likely team to be surpassed in their division.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially if you're talking
about, everyone thinks the Yankees are that much better.
Yeah. Well, I don't necessarily think that they're that much better. It's just that they're so much closer than any other division. Like the first and second place teams in that division are, I think, the closest. I think they're closer than Astros Athletics.
Yeah.
I think they're closer than, you know, Indians and whomever. I guess the Twins are making some moves now, so I guess they're the de facto second best team in that. They're talking about
teams,
you know, and then the Dodgers, the
Cardinals Brewers, and Cubs.
Yeah, but they don't have like a dominant team like last year the Brewers won, and the year before that
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so I don't look at that division as being one of these sort of like the Red Sox have won a couple years in a row or a few years in a row. Might be. The Dodgers have won, what, 5 years in a row? I mean, I don't see that breaking this year. Mm-hmm. Not with them. Not with the Diamondbacks throwing in the towel already.
Right. Right.
Anyway.
So the Rays are making headlines for all the wrong reasons. First, it was they blew their chance to their 3-year window to get a new stadium, and now they're lowering seating capacity to make it look like the field. So the upper deck is being closed.
Right.
So there'll be 25,000 plus seats in the lower bowl, and that's going to make a difference. It's still going to sound like they're playing in an airplane hangar.
So less people cannot go.
Right.
To games.
Right.
I thought it was very strange that Amnesty International did a press release supporting this move.
And on top of that, Tommy Pham says the Rays have no fan base at all, and it's disappointing and depressing to play there, home games. That's not a good endorsement.
Well, also, Tommy Pham comes from St. Louis, and you can
right,
you know, people can bash
best,
St. Louis fans for whatever, for being arrogant or whatever, but like they're great fans.
Right. Most supportive fan base, yeah.
You know, very knowledgeable, very enthusiastic, not quite as violent as, say, like Philly fans.
Right.
But
or Giants fans.
Yeah, but to go from that to Tampa Bay, like, oof, man.
Yeah. Big change, change. So they just have to put a winning product on the field to get, you know, 25,000 people to fill up that lower bowl. How exciting.
I'm telling you, this is a wild card team this year. That Charlie Morton signing is a great signing for them.
Yeah, probably the heartwarming story of the year, as the year came to a conclusion at the holidays, is, was it Singer? Was that the prospect?
Brady Singer.
The Royals brought Brady Singer, pays off all his parents' debt. And the viral video that went around of his mom reading the card and the note in the card, that was pretty powerful stuff. But the thing about the video is that the dad just sits there stoically fighting back tears. He's like,
right.
Not gonna cry, not gonna cry,
awesome.
Not gonna cry. It was such a good video.
Like, I just want to zoom in on that and just watch that. So much going on right. with that dude.
Yeah, he just was like, I'm not going to do it. No. But you could tell
this is really emotional. But I'm not going to let on. But no.
No, that was very heartfelt. And
yeah.
That was a nice gift. Yeah. Especially the way that he worded it. You guys sacrificed everything for me. And it's time for me to give back type of thing. It was just really nice. So hopefully that's a precedent for, you know, not to say that other players in other sports don't do that for their parents. A lot of players buy their parents houses and cars and just a nice gesture.
But more of that, you know what I mean? Like, let's see more of that in our social media, in our news. That's what I want to see. This other stuff,
okay,
it's just, there's just too much other stuff. It's all the same. This was such a nice thing. Even whatever a couple weeks ago, it's nice just to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was nice. It was really nice, and it made national news. So it was not just a baseball thing. It was on CNN and, you know, other leading outlets. So it was good. Yeah. Good PR. So the A's just found out that after Kylie Minogue. Kyle Murray said that he was going to play baseball. Now he's having second thoughts and it's going to enter the NFL draft because why not?
Well, here's the thing. It's a smart move for him because everyone knows he has to play baseball because he has a contract, right? So he's not going to break that contract. But secondly, like just the PR of it for him is worthwhile.
Yeah.
Like, it's a PR world, man. Go out there, get your clicks, get your likes, get your name out there in the press. Like, you know, press eats this stuff up and they're like, oh, is he gonna, like, look, the guy's gonna play baseball, he's gonna get drafted by some team in like the fifth round. Someone's gonna take a flyer on him, he's gonna get even more publicity, right? And then that Nike deal he gets is gonna be like just 20% more. And then their whole ad campaign will be like, he could have played football, but he chose baseball. And then in these dark times, blah, blah, blah. You can see it all play out for you, whatever. But good for him. Get your money, man.
But I saw an interesting argument, though, that said that it would be stupid for him not to do that because he's going to be a number. He's going to be a first round draft pick, which is sick money. And he could potentially, depending on who drafts him, step into a starting role within a couple of years. If he does the baseball route, his signing bonus with the A's was like $4.5 million.
Right.
And that's the only money he's going to get. And he's not going to make any money for 5-6 years until, you know, he's a free agent. So the whole the thinking behind that is that he's not going to make any money in baseball, but he'll make a boatload of money in football right out of the gate.
Right. And then if he tweaks his knee?
Right. That's the big risk is that football careers are much shorter than baseball careers.
Right. And also the contracts aren't guaranteed.
Right. So if he was able to prove himself in baseball, that big payday, he could, you know, down the road sign a 7-year, $50 million contract, you know, something like that. You know, even to somebody, if he's good enough, they would extend him early. So, I don't know. It would be interesting to see how that one plays out. But the A's would hold the rights to him if he chose football.
Right. Good times.
So what else we got here?
This
whole Lorena Martin thing with the Mariners.
Oh, yeah. This is unfortunate.
The lawsuit. She's suing them. They're countersuing her. They're saying that she was representing herself as a physician, and she's not a physician. It's just turned into a pretty nasty he said, she said.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to avoid following this, and it just kept coming up. And it's just like, and then there was this other angle on it, and then there was this other angle on it. And it's really just a messy thing where, like, they hired this person. They thought they were, you know, I don't want to say she's an alternative medicine person, but it's like a different perspective to biology and player physiology and treatment and stuff like that. And, like, this is what teams should be doing, like bringing in people with different perspectives, right? And then it just has gotten, they're claiming she created a toxic work environment. She's claiming they created a toxic work environment. Making racist comments about Latino players, and it's just such a mess.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah,
but it's not over. It's not going to be over anytime soon, too, because both sides are kind of digging in.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to get nastier.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, she's got to get her money somehow because she'll never be allowed near a sports team.
No,
regardless of how right she is. She'll just never be allowed near a sports team.
So we'll see how that one plays out. Unfortunately, we'll probably follow this one. It's not going to be over anytime soon.
Yeah.
Unless they come to some sort of a mutually agreed upon number. And
also, I hear
away.
The Mueller investigation is taking it up now.
Isn't Manafort connected to this in some way?
Yeah, he is, actually. Connected to he everything. Was contacted in contact with a Ukrainian about it.
Right.
I saw in the news the other day that Manafort was in contact with a Russian. They're like, this is it. We finally found the collusion. And they're like, oh, no, sorry. Our bad. We meant Ukrainians. Like,
right. Close enough.
Those are two different things completely. Well, they sound the same.
Close enough. General area. That's kind of,
That's
like, you know, the getting the corner call.
Yeah. It's like in World War II, it's like, Poland, Germany, they're right next to each other. It's basically the same thing.
Right, it's close enough. Yeah. No, it's like, in the area, the foot on the second base.
Yeah.
You know, same thing.
It's the area call.
Yeah. It's close enough. It's an area call. Yeah. Close enough. So the last headline we have is the Giants are now going to be calling their home ballpark Oracle Park. And yes. I'm assuming you have a punchline for that.
Well, the best part about being known as Oracle Park is when they ask the Oracle what their future is. It's going to be, whew! The streets are going to be filled with human feces, drug needles, and an overpaid aging roster that underperforms.
So there was, we didn't have this, and just popped into my head as you were talking about aging, underperforming stars. Madison Bumgarner rumors to the Brewers.
I've heard about that. Basically, they wanted like one of their three young guys, Peralta, Woodruff, or whoever the other guy is. I don't remember the other guy is.
That would be a decent trade for the Brewers. It would show that they're really reinforcing their success last year by having an actual starting rotation. But only if Madison Bumgarner is still Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, that's the question, right? I almost feel like everybody involved is better off if they can get Madison to show for a couple months that he's Madison Bumgarner.
Right.
Like, I think you'll actually get more for him mid-season, and teams will be willing to give up more for him mid-season when they see it, when they see that three ERA and the da-da-da-da-da.
And the home runs.
And the home runs. But again, also lefty, right? He'd be lefty in Miller Park. Mm-hmm. Be a nice fit.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a good fit. So that wraps up headlines. Now we're moving on to starting nine.
Yeah.
And for Coachella.
Yes.
You have nine players with Coachella band names. So the recent line or the current lineup
they
for
just
Coachella?
They just announced the new lineup. Now what they're doing this year, and I don't know if they did it last year, but I might have missed it, is they're doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they're doing the next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah.
So give them a chance to clean up the grounds a little bit?
You know what? That sixth day, that sixth Sunday, you want to talk about human feces and drug needles. I got an oracle for you. Yeah. Wear a hazmat suit. I don't care how odd it is.
Wear a hazmat suit and don't spin so much this year to avoid the feces. So what do you got?
All right. So big lineup. Let's start with Max Schweizer.
Schweizer. Oh, okay. Weezer.
Max Scherzer.
Right. Weezer. Yeah, you got it.
Max Schweizer.
I was trying
you
to pronounce Schweizer.
Right? We take a topic.
I do. No, I was.
I do. I take names and connect them to players that are currently in the league.
I was just
like
trying
Max
to.
Scherzer.
I was just trying to pronounce it. I was trying to pronounce it correctly.
All right.
Schweizer. I got it.
Craig Stamen Paula. For Tame Impala.
Stamen. Okay. I don't know the lineup, so you're going to have to probably walk me through some of these. Like you just did.
Yeah.
Batting third?
Batting third is Janelle Lathan Mongray.
Okay.
Janelle Monet. Jonathan Gray. All right. You know, honestly, John, I don't remember some of these. Like this one? Oh, no. Okay. Shin Soulange Chu. Instead of Solange, that's Beyonce's
Solange.
Sister.
Got
my
it.
Wife tells me
he's back.
Yeah. Mike the Zoo 1975. So that's the 1975, and Mike Zunino. Okay, moving along. Jesse Aphex Twin Kerr. So Jesse Winker.
Okay.
Aphex Twin. All right. Harrison Bader Bunny. I guess Badder Bunny. Bad Bunny.
Badder Bunny. Okay.
Alexander Kid Claudio. Alexander Claudio. Mm-hmm. All right. Yasmani Ariana Grandal.
Okay. Ariana Grande. Is she going to show up?
Yeah, she's going to be there.
Okay. We'll see.
Pete Davidson might not be.
Okay.
Andrew Childish Gambinintendi.
And what's the band?
Childish Gambino.
Okay. Dad, never heard of him.
What?
Never heard of him.
Is that, you've never heard of Childish Gambino?
No.
All right.
I might have heard a song, but I don't know who they are.
But it's, what's his name? It's from Atlanta, the show Atlanta.
Never saw it.
Glover.
I know Glover. Donald Glover. Yeah, I know who he is.
And you haven't heard of Childish Gambino. Well. Right. You know what, John? Let's go on to the next thing. This is just depressing.
Sorry.
You know what? Why don't you stay in Mexico?
I think I might for a little while longer. Okay, let's move on to extra innings.
Great.
And a look outside the world of baseball. So we've got a lot going on. We've got NFL playoffs, a couple, upsets, quite a few upsets.
Well, we're talking about the NFL playoffs. Oh yeah, that did you see any of those games? Those were some good games, man. A couple points, a block kick, sort of, for the Bears.
Yeah, so the Bears end with a doink off the goalpost.
Yeah, but it was just slightly tipped. They did change it to a blocked
I didn't know
kick.
That. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
So someone, no Ray Finkel situation here necessarily.
Yeah, but I saw there was some viral video going around about this irate Bears fan. He's walking out of the stadium just irate. and someone got it on video. I didn't watch. Oh, wow. I just saw the facial expressions. But yeah, that's taking sports a little too seriously.
Yeah, well, I've always told you, I think that the Chicago fans are the most, they're the most terrifying to me, because you hear about, you know, like Giants fans beating up Dodgers fans beating up Giants fans, Raiders fans beating up Chiefs fans, but Cubs fans will beat up Cubs fans. That's how hardcore Chicago fans
are. That's not good. Yeah, they live and die by their sports teams, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So we had two other upsets, too. Only one home team won, right? So the Colts beat the Texans, which was a little bit of a surprise.
Shocking. I was so surprised by that.
But I think the Colts might be the team that nobody wants to play right now.
Well, certainly the
Andrew Luck has
the Texans.
Been very successful. Yeah, right. But Luck has really developed over the season, and he's back. I don't want to say to his former, to his former self, but they look pretty strong right now.
Yeah,
so good. The Cowboys, I think, were the only home team that won, correct?
And just barely.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I didn't watch any of the games. I don't have coverage. Although I did have a friend give me his password to his cable operator, so I was able to watch the last quarter and a half of the national championship game.
John, now the NSA is going to press charges.
It's really going to be.
Now Mueller's going to be investigating us. Some guy's giving his cable password to a foreign operative living in Mexico.
Yeah, in Mexico? Yeah, this is... I already can hear the beeping on my phone. I can hear it. It's like, uh-oh. They've tracked me down. Oh, there's a knock at the door. Hold on a second. before we get to the college playoffs, so what do you think the Patriots' chances are this weekend? I think they're playing the Chargers, right?
Yeah, I would much rather that they didn't have to play the Chargers.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a team that just everyone all season has been underrating. And I don't know that I hope that the Patriots don't do the same thing, but I could see them easily just underrating the Chargers and getting drilled. And not just like beaten, but drilled.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be fitting for it to be the AFC Championship game to be the Colts and the Chargers? Two underappreciated team. The Colts not really underappreciated. Yeah. I think they started off so poorly, but have played very well in the second half of the season.
But still underappreciated.
The Chargers were good all year.
Yeah.
That would make for, as a fan, not necessarily as a network executive.
Right.
That would be exciting.
Screw those guys.
But yeah, so the network executives always want the Patriots in there because there's a lot of Patriots fans and there's a lot of people who hate the Patriots.
Yeah.
So they're always a good bet for high ratings. But we'll see. I'm sure we'll talk about it next week. But the college football championship game was thoroughly enjoyable. Because I'm not a huge Saban fan. I think he's a great coach, but he's just like Pete Rose. He's just somebody you love to hate.
Yeah.
But they got a whooping.
It was odd to see that much of a thrashing. I don't know. Like, if it's your fourth national championship game in four years or whatever, like, or in 3 years...
Four years in a row, these two teams have played for the national championship.
It's boring.
It's crazy.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's boring.
It's like the Warriors and the Cavaliers type of thing.
Yeah. It's more boring than that.
But the thing that was kind of irked me a little bit, though, after the game is that Saban was basically saying, we didn't play well. He didn't give any credit to Clemson. And the last time I checked, Clemson was undefeated going into that game and a good team.
Yeah.
And he basically was saying is that we didn't play well. Well, you know what? If you don't play well, that's a coaching issue.
He should have said the other team outplayed us.
Right. He should have. He said,
because then there's none of it's on him then.
Right. Because now by sitting there saying that we didn't play well, that's like, well, your team wasn't prepared then. And if preparation was the issue, that falls squarely on your shoulders.
Yeah. Blame it on the players. Blame the unpaid interns that are NCAA football players, and then the coach who's making whatever $38 million a year, he can just say, you know what, next time they'll do better.
Right. And then that's the headline after, 2 days later is that, this is going to only motivate Alabama to regain their, they're the most dominant football program for the last several years. They haven't gone down a notch. They're still good.
Yeah.
Has Clemson elevated itself or not? Sure. Both Clemson and Alabama are 2-2 in the last four national championship game. So they're the two best programs in the country right now.
Yeah, why don't we just have them play at the beginning of the season and then we just forget the whole thing?
Right. Right. We don't have to play anything. That'd be good. So you're going to have to walk me through this next one because I don't know anything about it. Gwyneth Paltrow got married and was on a honeymoon with a new husband and an old husband.
Was Chris Martin, she went on a honeymoon with her new husband, but then also Chris Martin was there, and so was her children and some family and actually a couple friends. And I couldn't help but marvel at what a multimillionaire would consider to be a honeymoon. Because think about it, John, like you get married, right? And you want to go on a honeymoon and go, you get away with each other for, you know, a week just to celebrate your new blah, blah, blah. But like, this is someone who has that capacity all the time anyway.
Mm-hmm. So to go wherever she wants and get
away
from
it. To go wherever she wants, whenever she wants, with whomever she wants. And how, so the idea of going on a honeymoon is so silly. It's like, well, maybe we'll just go to an even nicer place than we normally go than the nicest places in the world.
And who did she marry?
Some jabroni. I don't know.
All I have to say to that is Goop.
Yes.
Goop. Another, it's a whole bunch of Goop.
Goop-funded extravaganza.
So apparently this R. Kelly documentary series is making a little bit of a wave.
Yeah, it's strange because, like, he's been, these accusations against him have been known for, like, a long time. And, like, now it's coming out and they're thinking about reopening investigations into him with some of his victims or alleged victims or whatever. Oof.
And some song that he did with Lady Gaga, she's now saying she wants it removed from iTunes. You know,
right.
Doesn't
lie.
The title
now that she's already benefited
suggested.
From it, yes.
Right. Right. Now that she's made her boatloads of money.
Yeah. Sounds good. That'll handle everything.
Yeah. So the Fiji Water Girl was the star of the Golden Globes. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I was seeing a lot of social media buzz that someone at the beginning of the broadcast said, I won't be surprised if by the end of this broadcast, the Fiji Water Girl has her own Instagram account. And bam, she did. Someone was smart enough to create that account and start posting stuff. So that was pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've talked about this on the show before. Like, the Golden Globes are like the biggest joke of award shows ever. That being said, if they want to nominate something of mine, feel free. I gladly accept. But it's the Hollywood Foreign Press. So there's other weird stuff going
80
on.
80 people.
They're trying to get famous people there. So they nominate people who wouldn't necessarily be up for an award. They give awards to people. Like, this is the voting body that gave Drew Barrymore an acting award for acting. So they're a little bit off, right? And it's like the best film isn't usually the actual best film of the year. The best screenplay usually. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. Right. I'm so glad that this girl, have you seen the pictures of her where she's just like, holding these bottles.
Yeah, it's great.
It's hilarious. And the fact that celebrities were like annoyed by it and whatever, just like, shut up. Go cry yourself to sleep on your big money pillows.
Right. And James Corden had her on the other night and she was in the green room, in the red room, behind the stars as they were introduced. That was pretty clever.
Fantastic. Good for her.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, it's 15 minutes of fame and it worked. Fiji Water, man. Couldn't have asked for a better situation than that. It worked out perfect for them.
Yeah.
It was really good. Really cool.
I wonder what the machinations were behind it, though. Was it like, okay, we want you to go out there and, like, look, just do it. Or did they coordinate with the red carpet people so that she doesn't get kicked out? Or, like, how elaborate was it? Or was it just a spontaneous thing where this girl was like, you know what? I'm going to get in all these pictures.
Yeah. That was really good. Really, really smart. Hey, did you see this is on our list, but the woman who was offered, if you pay me $50, I'll show up at your funeral?
No.
And her whole thing, and it's a big social media blew up, and it was really clever on her part, is that pay me $50, I'll show up at your funeral, I'll stand in the background with sunglasses on and an umbrella, whether it's raining or not, just to add a little bit of injury to your death that people will be questioning you. And she's had a whole bunch of takers.
Fantastic.
It's really clever. Really cool thing. Yeah. It's really
funny. People say that America has problems, but that to me tells me we're all good.
We're all good. So what's coming up next?
Will John and Jed bother to show up next week? Find out on the next episode of Foul Territory.